Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today we're talking about dishes, ingredients in dishes with an eye towards cost and an eye towards health. And we're running down each other's lists. So you have to pick something off my list.
Yeah, I'm excited about the trout, so let's talk about that right now.
You really threw me a curve. You asked me about something. Ask me
about
something off air.
I was going to ask about quinoa.
No, it's okay. Quinoa. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Let's go to trout.
So trout, we've talked about rice. It's really hard not to talk about trout because I know you can cook trout without butter. I don't know if you can cook trout that you're really going to like without butter.
Right.
And that's kind of the, like, you
a
can
little
use,
bit of butter. It doesn't, it's not it, like you're going to use that much.
No, it doesn't need a tremendous amount. I think the biggest thing with trout, nice fresh rainbow trout, you can get it consistently. I also on my list try to make a list of things that you can get most of the year, if not the entire year.
Well, I just tried to get things that they can actually buy at pretty much any grocery store.
Exactly.
I mean, your seasonal cooking is seasonal cooking, so.
Trout's pretty ubiquitous, and you can get them in decent quality. And if you get whole fish, it's really easy to tell how fresh it is by looking at the eye of the fish and feeling the flesh. That's
right.
Very straightforward.
The flesh to spring.
You don't have to cook the head on the fish. You can cut the head off the fish. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know.
It's nice to cook it with the head on, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you need is a large sauté pan, and it's much better to have one that has some weight to it. And people grill trout, and they stuff it, and do all kinds of things. I don't know if there's ever a better and simpler and nicer way to eat trout than sautéed in the pan, relatively gently, just enough to get the skin crispy. And if you're going to use butter, in that pan, I would use a little bit of oil, a neutral oil, in the pan first. And that slows down if that butter is going to brown or it's going to burn or anything like that. At home, it's like rice in a rice pot for us, which is a very easy thing, and a quick saute of vegetables. And by the time those things are on the table, what does it take to cook a trout? A minute and a half?
Yeah, not long.
Two
at
minutes.
All.
It's such a slender fish. You can always get them boned out.
A minute and a half you're probably talking a total 3 to 4 minutes, maybe.
I guess by the time you actually get it to table, that sort of thing. But you're talking about something that you very lightly salt, because it doesn't need a tremendous amount. You dust it in flour, and your pan should be medium heat.
Right.
The butter melted in that oil,
mm-hmm.
coating the pan nicely, but not deep enough to fry it, but enough so that you can slide that fish around in the pan, and the pan's got to be large enough that the fish is not curling out of the pan. Like tail and head coming out of the thing.
No, you need everything hitting surface of the bottom of the pan.
And it needs to be hitting cooking surface.
Yeah.
And when the fish goes in, you move it around immediately right away a little tiny bit to make sure that you have enough.
Shake
I think
the
people
pan.
Either don't have enough fat or too much fat in a pan when they cook so much at the time. You shake the pan a little bit to make sure that your fat level's not spilling over the fish, and also that you have enough that the fish will actually move in the pan. And you're talking about probably a minute and a half on a side to get it brown, and maybe a minute on the other side.
Yeah.
And if you want to be adventurous and flip it, that's entirely up to you, but I take no responsibility for your flipping.
Just use a fish spatula.
A fish spatula or any kind of a high-heat spatula. You don't want to melt some sort of plastic device in your pan with your fish.
Definitely
not. People will do that. The other thing is if you scoop across the fish, across the waist, let's say, like a belt, you'll tear it right in half.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it the long way. The easiest thing is if you have a tail on it, just lift the tail up a tiny little bit with your fingers and slide the spatula underneath and flip the guy over. You may have to re-up your butter a little bit.
It will begin to absorb it, so you're going to have to add a little bit of fat to the pan while you're cooking. If you don't like the color of your fat, just knock that fat out and put new fat in. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
In a minute and a half, unless you get your pan too hot,
right?
It's not going to be a problem. The thing that happens is that the oil in the skin of the fish will actually flavor the butter a little bit, and that goes a long way to making it taste the way that you want it to. By the time you're out of the pan, you need to go on to have a plate ready with whether it's a paper towel or something just to blot it a tiny bit. Maybe even not if you're not that worried about the oil and that much oil landing on your plate.
Yeah,
Then you don't need
I
to
would
do
go
that.
Right onto the plate.
Thinking about the healthful aspect of it.
I'm a cornmeal girl. I would do mine in cornmeal.
I understand.
Rather than flour. So that's a choice. Thinking, that's an alternative too.
I'm saying, yeah, I guess my thoughts are towards making it as healthful as you can. And it's also, it's such an easy foil for a simple accent or a simple garnish.
Or a good relish.
Yeah, no question. And if you want to go ahead and make this your butter allowance for the day or the week or whatever it might be, a little bit of brown butter from that same pan.
Lemon juice, lemon brown butter.
It's classic and delicious with the fish.
Yeah, and you could also do tiny capers and oil and lemon on top, or you could do lemon supremes, which is the interior of the lemon. I'd have to, it's hard to describe on the radio, but you just basically peel the outside of the lemon so all the white, the skin and the white is off.
The fillet of the lemon.
Fillet, yeah, you cut into the lemon so that it doesn't have any of the pith on it and or the skin. And you can use that with the capers and oil and a little black pepper. That would be delicious.
That's a fish that's already portioned for one, so.
Yeah, that's nice. That's perfect. Yeah, I wouldn't, I would hesitate to cook,
time.
You know, seven trout for a family. I mean, you could certainly do it, but that's a lot of pans or a lot of big pans.
Yeah, if you're going to do a bunch of trout for a family, it would have to be something that you like pan fried and wet in the oven with or something.
Yeah.
The thing is that it has to be cooked relatively gently. You can't crush the fish. It's going to dry out really quickly.
Yeah, it's a quick cook, which is nice when you're trying to make dinner.
Corn is on the way too, so let's talk about corn because that's going to be seasonal. It's going to be helpful for people. So how do you center meal around corn?
There's just so many things to do with corn. Obviously we can roast it in the husk and make a relish from it, or you can just roast it in the husk, cut it off the cob, and saute it in butter and serve it that way. You could add some fresh lima beans to it. You could add cucumber and lima beans and zucchini to it, which is sort of my version of succotash with a little salt and pepper. I do saute that in butter, and I do think it's important to add a little bit of butter to that to make it really good. But if you felt that you just absolutely couldn't have the butter, you could certainly do it in corn oil. But you need to blanch your beans ahead of time and add it to the pan on pickup. So when you're getting ready to serve it, a little salt and pepper. As far as healthy things with corn, eating it as a vegetable or, as I said, making a relish, which you could add a little bit of chive, lemon juice, salt, pepper, and olive oil, a very light olive oil. I would not want a strongly flavored olive oil with that. You could even use just corn oil to make a little relish, and you could serve that with a piece of grilled pork or braised piece of pork.
Pretty good healthful relish with that, with something like a relish, is tzatziki, you know, the Greek garnish, with Greek yogurt, cucumbers, cut them in brunoise, or I guess small dice, the size of corn kernels, the fresh corn that's been roasted in the husk, cut off the husk, added to that, fresh dill, lemon, that maybe with that trout, or maybe with any other simple protein, that rice and trout would be a...
That would be a good meal.
Fantastic meal.
You could also make go a different direction with the corn and do a small dice or a very fine chop of jalapeno pepper, a little bit of finely chopped shallot, cilantro, corn oil. Again, you could add some acid, but you don't have to. I would add lime juice if I was going to add acid and make a relish for anything. That would be great with chicken. That would be great with pork.
Let me push you into your pork because I think with pork, people don't know what to do with cuts. And so talk for a second about cuts of pork that are cost effective, and also talk for a second about heritage breed versus, you know, just general pork that you can buy in the grocery store.
I think when you are talking about pork, you want sort of the pork, the hog that's been raised the best way. And that's when and bred for eating.
For flavor.
Right, which is what the heritage breeds are. So these are old hogs that before they were sort of genetically, you know.
The old hogs, old lines.
Old lines, sorry. Old lines of hogs.
Got a really old hog.
And this is the kind of hog that my uncle would have raised on his farm in Pennsylvania. And I remember when we used to go there and they would have a big party for the family. He would slaughter a hog and he would grill the loin and different cuts from it. And oh my gosh, I mean, for us. And it would be... I mean, this is the best pork loin you've ever had in your life. The loin is actually one of my least favorite cuts because it has sort of an odd, to me, the loin always has, even though it's a primal cut, which means it's one of the best cuts and one of the more expensive cuts, it has an odd texture to it. I always, on the pork loin, I always like the cap around the eye of the loin the best. That has the best flavor and the best texture. You know, you can certainly work with the ribs of the pork. You can certainly work with the shoulder or the butt or a fresh ham. And he would also do that. We would often eat the fresh ham. And rather than the cut that is the ham, and rather than smoking it, he would maybe cure it and grill it as well. And oh my goodness, I love a fresh ham. Actually, my grandmother used to cook a fresh ham. That was something she would roast and have for a big Sunday dinner. And I don't think that I don't know how available that is, but I'm sure any butcher would get you one if you asked for it.
You can definitely talk to people at some of the farmers markets in the area and get a fresh ham from a local hog.
Yeah. And you're just going to have...
It may take a little bit of time to get it done, but you sign up for it.
You're going to get it, right.
And get it when it's time.
The fat is better. The fat has better flavor. The meat itself has better texture and flavor. And that's it. That's the whole story with a heritage breed. And, you know, you do want to keep in mind that while it is a fatty animal, it's not necessarily... The meat is not necessarily riddled with fat.
No, and it's not necessarily a tender...
Right.
And tender cut. The point of pork is flavor.
Yeah,
It is not to be, like, buttery, easy to deal with.
Right. So keep that in mind. A little bit of a marinade is always a good idea, particularly if you're doing a loin. With the shoulder or the butt, you're really going to have to roast it or braise it or confit it. So you have a tougher cut of meat, and there are only some sections of those shoulder or the butt that you can actually roast and have tender enough. You have to pull the muscles out to do that. So really, you want to braise it.
If you had a small pork butt or a nice piece of shoulder and you took the time to confit it, I mean, you could have that in your fridge for a long time and it's fat.
Yes.
And be able to have that as a piece of meals, you know, once or twice a week for several weeks.
Yeah.
That might be super effective.
It kind of freaks me out to tell people to do that, but you have to make sure that there's no moisture in there, that the meat is actually only in fat, and that the meat is covered.
It has to be submerged.
It has to be submerged with the fat, and then you need to cover the pan that it's in, and it needs to stay properly refrigerated, and it needs to go into the refrigerator cool, not hot. So the only way that that's a healthy project is to do it that way, right? But it is a nice way to have food for a while.
It's superb 3,000-year-old technology.
Exactly. It is. But confit and pork fat is really quite tasty. And you can do many, many different things with it.
You just pull the meat and heat it right back up. Honestly, that you want to make the best eggs Benedict you're ever going to have in your life. You know, toast a nice fat slice of brioche or whatever kind of bread that you like in butter. Poach a couple of eggs and make a hollandaise, and that's a luxury sauce. That's a relatively inexpensive sauce.
Well, and if you like to make tacos at home, I mean, pulled pork is the best meat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make a wonderful tomato, like a tomatilla salsa with, you know, jalapenos and cilantro and tomatillos on a small dice, a little bit of water and lime and salt and pepper, and just make a very simple salsa and onion. Did I say onion? And just... That would be great. That would be a great little taco, and your kids would probably enjoy that too.
When you could reheat the pork for that, a little bit of fresh onion in the pan that's sweated a little while, and then recaramelize the pork with a little bit of onion.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of the pork fat from the confit. Yeah.
Can be just tremendous.
Yeah, there's so many things.
Getting very hungry.
I know, so many choices.
Well, when we come back on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine, we're going to keep running through ingredients and keep running through preparations and try to help folks cook healthfully and cost-effectively on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.